Have you ever seen the movie Babyface starring Barbara Stanwyck? Well, even if you have, chances are you haven't. In Babyface, circa 1933, Miss Stanwyck plays the daughter of a bootlegger who runs an illicit tavern in which more than bathtub gin is on tap, if you catch my drift. After her father dies, she rises to the top of a New York bank by raising her skirt, if you catch my second drift. Now, the original film features prostitution, sex, and malice. The film that audiences saw featured a whole lot less than that. Warner Brothers reshot key scenes to satisfy the New York State Board of Censorship in the 1930s. Babyface was sanitized for our protection until now. Mike Michonne has stumbled upon the original version of Babyface. Mr. Michonne is curator of the Motion Picture Division at the Library of Congress and joins us in our studios. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
And what makes Babyface worth caring about?
Babyface is held up as an exemplar of what's known as pre-code Hollywood. From 1930, roughly, to 1933, the Hollywood studios are really kind of pushing the edge of propriety. But something like Babyface even kind of went beyond the pale in this implication that a father was essentially pimping out his daughter. And it was films like this that caused the producers to establish the production code, which really clamped down on all of this untoward behavior that we're seeing in the motion pictures at the time. So after 1934, the films were much more sanitized than they were previous to that. And so we refer to those films in this 1930 to 1933 period as pre-code Hollywood.
How did you discover the original Babyface?
Sheer dumb luck. We have in our collections at the library...
You know, it's nice to hear a scholar acknowledge that.
Well, we have in the collections of the Library of Congress the original camera negative of Babyface. I had asked our laboratory to make a print of Babyface from the original camera negative. And I got a report back that said they had also checked this dupe negative and found it to be about 5 minutes longer. And that struck me as being unusual, so I managed to get the dupe negative, took a look at it, and within 5 minutes knew exactly what it was I was looking at.
Yeah, I'm a tramp, and who's to blame? My father. A swell start you gave me. Ever since I was 14, what's it been? Nothing but men, dirty, rotten men, and you're lower than any of them. I'll hate you as long as I live.
You know, a film archivist doesn't get too many eureka moments in his or her career, but I literally was giddy like a schoolgirl.
Well, let's play one of the differences that you discovered. This is a key scene. The moral arbiter of the film is a character, Craig the Cobbler, who gives young Barbara Stanwyck fatherly advice. He gives her a little speech. She's just itching to leave these little town blues behind her and go to the big city. And in the original version, here's the speech that Craig the Cobbler delivers.
You're a coward. I mean, you let life defeat you. You don't fight back.
What chance has a woman got?
More chance than men. A woman, young, beautiful like you, can get anything she wants in the world because you have power over men. But you must use men, not let them use you. You must be a master, not a slave. Exploit yourself. Go to some big city where you will find opportunities. Use men to get the things you want.
So the New York State Board of Censorship was...
They did not like that scene. Absolutely not. They forced Warner Brothers to change that one.
Okay, and let's hear how it was changed.
You're a coward. I mean it. You let life defeat you. You don't fight back.
What chance has a woman got?
More chance than men. A woman, young, beautiful like you are, could get anything she wants in the world. But there is a right and a wrong way. Remember, the price of the wrong way is too great. Go to some big city where you will find opportunities. Don't let people mislead you. You must be a master, not a slave. Be clean, be strong, defiant, and you will be a success.
Words to live by.
I was trying to read between the lines. Did you think an audience in 1933 would know that Craig is giving her advice to...
Well, look, the film is very racy in and of itself. But Craig, I mean, he is telling her to go to the big city and, you know, she's young and beautiful and she can get what she wants there. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he's telling her to be strong and be clean and she can be a success. Well, she does go to the big city and she is strong, but she's not necessarily clean.
So it was Warner Brothers did the actual alteration of the film.
Correct. What happened was in April of 1933, the New York State Board of Censors rejected the film. And this was commercial death because the film could not be shown in New York City. So Warner Brothers' editing department made all these trims and reshoots, and the film went into release in July.
What made Hollywood decide it needed some kind of code?
As the Hollywood studios were releasing more risque films, they were mostly civic organizations that tended to complain about these things. The films were enormously popular. And so they established the production code to make sure that the government wouldn't step in and start regulating the content of film. It's exactly the same thing that happened in the 60s with the establishment of the ratings board that we know today.
How did the film do?
It did okay. You know, this is a movie that stature has grown over the years. And I mean, I will say, just in my own, you know, personal opinion, its notoriety really exceeds its value as an artistic statement.
I want to talk about the final scene that Warner Brothers ended to the version that finally got released. I guess they added a final scene to make it clear that it was really a moral film.
That's correct. At the end of the film, Lily has married a rich man who has fallen into disgrace and attempted suicide. She finds him and they're racing with him in an ambulance to a hospital. Mm-hmm. And her case opens and it's full of jewels and money.
So the wages of sin.
And well, that's pretty much the way that the film ends. It leaves things hanging just a little bit. Warners, when they got the film back, decided that they needed a tag scene, an epilogue, to really make the case that Lily had learned the error of her ways.
Let me remind you that Trenholm and his wife sacrificed everything they had for the bank.
Whatever became of his wife?
I had a letter from them last week. They haven't a cent. He's a laborer in one of the steel mills in Pittsburgh. They're working out their happiness together.
They're working out their happiness together.
It's very edifying.
Because real happiness in life, of course, consists not in ill-gotten gains, but in...
working in a steel mill in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Well, where can people see the film now?
It will be showing at various archival venues around the country for the next several months. So if you happen to have a really good film archive in your town, I would encourage you to keep an eye out for that. And although I can't speak for Warner Home Video, I'm sure we'll be looking at a DVD release of this version of Babyface.
Mike Michonne, curator at the Motion Picture Division of the Library of Congress, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.